Good morning. It's 9 o'clock in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean. Welcome to another 15 minutes with Co-operators General Insurance, where we discuss preventative measures drivers can take to avoid motor accidents. And you can send your questions to Sabrina Howard at showard@coopgeneral.com.
What makes an insurance company stand tall above the rest? Is it the affordable premiums, flexible payment plans, or multiple locations to serve you better? Is it because it's locally owned by the credit union movement? Is it the 24-hour emergency roadside assistance or prompt settlement of claims? Or is it the long-standing pledge of community involvement and friendship? Welcome to Co-operators General Insurance, insurance the way you want it to be. We can help.
And speaking of welcome again to Teresa Ward. She is a claims manager with Co-operators General Insurance. Good morning to you, Teresa.
Good morning, Carol, and good morning to all the listeners. And it's a pleasure to be here again today. And we are continuing these sessions, reviewing the accidents on the road and ways we can reduce those numbers, hopefully, by giving some guidance to drivers. And you know what to do and what not to do.
I think this is a very, very important and powerful program, because sometimes when you get into an accident, the insurance company can almost become the enemy for many. Like,
that,
oh my goodness,
true.
You're not doing this, and I pay my premiums, and
that
blah blah blah. And looking at it from the perspective of the insurance company, where you deal with accidents, unfortunately, maybe on a daily basis, some more serious than others.
Yes.
What is that looking like? And is it getting worse? Are you getting more and more serious accidents, being claims coming through?
Mm-hmm. Well, we find that accidents have increased quite a bit within the last year.
And within the last year?
Yes, within the last year.
I thought you were going to tell me like in the last 10 years or something.
Well, yes. I mean, every year, the numbers may change a bit, but we found quite a bit of increase around December of last year into this year. And, you know, we were hearing a lot of complaints from all the insurance companies, you know, speaking about these increases in accidents. Pretty much a lot of fender benders. Thankfully, not a lot of serious claims. When I say serious, not, you know, in terms of death or serious injuries, but we have seen an increase in the number of claims, fender benders especially, and it tells us, too, that people are really not taking care, due care and consideration for other road users when these accidents are reported, because in a lot of cases, these accidents can be avoided. Right.
And so someone might say, well, if they're not that serious, they're just fender benders, why is it such a big deal?
Because fender benders still add cost. You know, it is still costly to settle some of these claims. And what the insurance industry has been experiencing is an availability of a lot of parts for vehicles. So although the claim may be a fender bender and it's not serious, what you find is the cost has increased, because with the unavailability of parts, then that increases your claim in terms of rentals and things like that. And then just for even the parts to get here, sometimes you are talking about 3, 4, 5 months, you know, and that too can impact a client, because if the vehicle cannot be driven, that person has to put down their vehicle for that length of time. And in some cases, insurance companies have to bear that cost when parts are unavailable. So small claims, but the cost can cause those claims to be quite a bit down the road.
You know, many of us think as we're drivers, you know, when you see your policy going up and stuff like that, I'm a good driver, I haven't been in an accident and da-da-da-da-da. Why is Peter paying for Paul and Paul paying for all?
Well, because insurance, as you know, we say insurance is a pool. So it is the claim, it is the premium.
Put me in a tub by myself, please. I would appreciate that very much.
If we had to put you up by yourself, I don't think you'd be able to pay the premium. Because the thing about it, the exposure of insurance companies is quite high. For a property damage claim, your policy covers you up to $500,000 for a personal injury claim. Your policy covers you up to $30 million. So really and truly, the exposure for what your claim may potentially cost a company compared to what you're paying, if there wasn't a pool, you would not be able to pay those premiums. Mm. So this is where the pool comes in, and you have the claims, you know, the premiums of the many paying for the claims of the few. But that is how it works. And, you know, you don't know at what time you may have a claim and have to go into the, you know, to those funds and so on to have claims paid on your behalf.
There is a challenge, and it happened to someone I know recently where somebody hit them. Mm-hmm. And it turns out the person was not insured. The vehicle was right. not insured. How big a challenge is that?
We're having quite a bit of challenge with those types of claims where persons are driving illegally on the road. You know, they don't have the insurance. They get involved in an accident with somebody who has insurance. And then you have now to either make arrangements with that person, if they are at fault, to reimburse the damages caused to the other person's vehicle. Sometimes that can be very challenging. Because sometimes people don't have money, you know, and depending on the size of the claim, sometimes it can be a couple $1,000s that you're saying to somebody, you know, who's on the road illegally, you have to now reimburse on that particular claim. And those things can be quite drawn out trying to collect those monies.
Based on your experience in the insurance industry, would you advise people if that person that they are at fault, they come and they say, listen, don't call the police, don't call the insurance company, I can sort it out. Would you advise them, seriously, advise them to do that?
I would advise them not to do that, because in a lot of cases, people make promises at the scene of an accident, and then they don't follow through. So you have clients then who are complaining that, you know, they've been trying to reach this person, or this person promised to do that. And then there's also the issue of persons not in agreement when estimates are submitted and things like that. So it can cause a lot of issues. So we always advise persons, call the police or call your insurance company still, let them get involved at that point. And then, you know, the insurance may be able to assist in getting those arrangements actually, you know, to happen.
Yeah, because you have to say, well, if you either couldn't afford to pay your insurance or didn't pay your insurance, how is it that you're going to pay for the damage you caused to my vehicle?
Precisely. And as I said, it can run into thousands of dollars.
Yeah, we end up feeling for people. Been there, done that, and paying a high price, a personal price for it. Well, good morning to Mr. Leon Blade. He has joined us today. How are you, sir?
Not bad, you know. Thankful for life. Good morning, listeners. Mm-hmm. My apology for being not at the start.
You were taking your time getting here and being a good
actually,
driver.
Actually, the truck was very heavy this morning. I thought it was school day.
That's true. Because sometimes it's like that. Right. So let's see if we can get at least a couple of minutes on the specific topic. What was the specific topic for today?
We were looking at vehicles turning right across oncoming vehicles on the main, and having persons who are approaching in the opposite direction turning across those vehicles.
Okay.
Yeah, that is one of the situations that occur frequently on the roads. And mind you, this is just how to reiterate something that I had said previously, because when you're approaching a junction and you want to turn across, you have to judge the speed of the vehicle that is coming in your opposite direction. If you cannot judge that speed, or if you can't judge speed correctly to avoid the collision, what you should do is to reduce your speed. But far too often, and I must reiterate it, I said it previously, that drivers, instead of using the brake, they use their horn. But the horn can't stop you. So it is important that you use your brake so that you can reduce your speed. But you should not turn across vehicles. The vehicle that is on the water to turn should make sure that he can judge the speed. If you're unsure, you should stop. Mm. Let the traffic pass and then make your turn. And that happens frequently.
Yeah, people trying a quick one.
And trying a quick one. So we as drivers must try to avoid those situations wherever possible. to avoid ourselves being involved in collisions. Mm-hmm. And I sure that in a training, part of the training component, that the drivers are told this. But statistics have shown that while in train, in the case of training, while you're learning to drive, you don't have any accidents. I'm sure that with you in your insurance industry, you will find that there are not many accidents happening.
Very few.
Because they're fought on the instructions. Mm-hmm. But it's when you pass the test and
own.
You feel that you know mm-hmm. when in truth, in fact, you're not fully aware. And then some person become complacent. And then that is where the accidents occur. Mm. So my advice to drivers is making sure if you want to turn, you got to you have to judge the speed. How fast that vehicle is coming. Can I get across that path safely? I have to know the condition of my vehicle. But don't take any of those things a chance. Mm. Don't leave things a chance. Make sure that you have give yourself a chance to turn and turn safely. And that is one of the problems.
True. Wow. That's very true.
Wow.
We also wanted to look at Mr. Blades, vehicles turning off the main into these minor roads and doing so offside and affecting the drivers who are approaching the junctions and in some cases causing a collision.
Okay, so that is related to the other one that you were mentioning. But however, what I must say is the law speaks specifically to this. The law tells you at Regulation 31A that when turning from one road onto another to the right, the driver should drive around the point of intersection. What is the point of intersection? It is that right angle mark and white. The right angle mark, that's the markation of the intersection mm-hmm. where you should be. So you should turn from the left side of one road to the left side of the next road. And you should not cut across that angle. Mm. If you cut across the angle, you're infringing on the right of the other car or motorist that is approaching the junction.
Right.
And if you do that, you're going to be at fault. You can't avoid it.
Mm.
Because it is not a case that the driver is part to blame. You are fully to blame. Because you go, instead of you turning from left side to left side, you're turning across, you're making a late one, or making it, you're trying to, as you said, cut across on the wrong side.
Yeah.
No, the law is clear. You shall have to go around the point of intersection of two or more roads and shall keep to as close as possible to the left side of each road and shall not pass in front of the incoming traffic except on roads where traffic signs indicate otherwise. So it is clear. And if motorists, if I heard the president of GIAB mentioned about training, but this is part of the training, the education, mm-hmm. to make sure persons understand how the roads work.
Correct.
Because you cannot assume that this is, I'm going to cross here. And I see very often, I see those container vehicles, they can't do otherwise. They make sure
yes.
that they come and make a right angle turn because it's a long vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So drivers got to realize that. I have to adjust my driving to suit.
Right.
If it is a long vehicle, you have to make sure that you take that right angle. You've got to make sure you can see into that road before you start a turn.
Mm-hmm.
But the car drivers are taking a late one, and before they can actually see into the junction, they're turning.
Correct.
I am sure that lots of listeners to me here, to us here this morning, are saying that drivers turn on them. Because the drivers, before they get to the intersection, they started a turn.
Correct.
They should wait until they get to the intersection and turn from left side to left side.
Mm-hmm. Well, believe it or not, we're out of time. And as many times as I've seen that happen, it happened to me just yesterday. Yeah, we need to talk about this some more. So thank you very much coming in and sharing some more very important information, helping us to be better drivers on the road. And that was another 15 minutes with Co-operators General Insurance, where we discussed preventative measures drivers can take to avoid motor accidents. Now, remember, if you have any questions, please send those questions to Sabrina Howard. And the email address is showard@coopgeneral.com.
What makes an insurance company stand tall above the rest? Is it the affordable premiums, flexible payment plans, or multiple locations to serve you better? Is it because it's locally owned by the credit union movement? Is it the 24-hour emergency roadside assistance or prompt settlement of claims? Or is it the long-standing pledge of community involvement and friendship? Welcome to Cooperators General Insurance, insurance the way you want it to be. We can help.